Welcome to Mystery Bible. My name is Ken Primus. I'm your host. The last podcast, we stopped at the Golden Calf. We were embarking on that information, and we also looked at the law. And I had stopped and just mentioned the purpose of the law. And I think I want to go back in and handle that to a degree before we move in to the aspect of all the others, the other information dealing with the calf and the results of worshiping other idols and stuff like that. So we know, according to the Word of God, according to Exodus chapter 20, it goes all the way into, I believe, his 23. But God begins to talk about his law, his Ten Commandments, and all of these different things. And we talked about why it was instituted, in the sense that he has to deprogram their mind and dealing with all of that. So we know that in chapter 21, he talks about marriages and servants and death penalty and all the different offenses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that type of stuff. 22, he revealed his law pertaining to stealing, destruction by fire, care of property of others, borrowing, different behavior, sacrifice to false gods, that type of things, usury, reviling God, and all of the firstborn and so forth. 23, he revealed his law pertaining to integrity, godly conduct, the land, and that we need to give that land a rest in the sabbatical year. I talk about the children of Israel and all of the annual feasts and so forth. We know that these were some of the promises. We know that sickness will be removed from the people, and we're going to get to some of that as we see where he begins to lay out a few things. But what I wanted to go back into is the law. We talked about this law, and some of it's very critical that you have an understanding about this law, because the Bible tells us it is like there are two different timelines, and one is dealing with the law and the other is dealing with grace. So what was the ultimate purpose of the law? It was to make us known, make our sins known to us, to highlight our need, if you will, for someone to save us from the state that we are in. And we'll see that in the book of Romans when we take a look at that. It's also in Galatians. We know that this law was given to point to this behavioral depravity that we have, or deficiency, if you will. And so we're going to look at that and see that why it was given. The purpose number one was to highlight our sins and make us understand the need, have a revelation of the need of someone to help us out, because we are in a state of depravity. And so another aspect of this is that we, through the understanding of the law, the sin, we it leads us to the fact of that individual that is going to come and show us the way out from under this curse of the law, as you know. And it tells us that we are captive by this law. We've been held captive. And that's why you've heard me said that we are under one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And so being under the kingdom of darkness, we're captivated by the law. God is pointing to us and show us our shortfalls, and that we have a need of an individual to come and to help us. Galatians 3:24 puts it this way: wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, or unto the Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covered. So the law is to make us aware of this condition that we have, and that condition is that we are born and made of sin. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 3:19-20. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the purpose of the law that Moses received was to bring us to the knowledge, the revelation, that we are short. We are in need of someone to help us to get past this mess that we are in, which is called sin. So this, I mentioned to you guys that the book of Romans is really a powerful place to go and look and see some of the things about the law and how it relates to all of us. And so let's take a look at that as well. Recently, I just read to you Romans 9:19-20, showing that the law gives us knowledge of sin, but it also, from that scripture, tells us that no man, can be justified by the deeds of the law. So whoever keeps all of them still is not justified before God. And he is, the Bible tells us that he is God, and that he is, they that come to him must believe that he is God, that faith, that justification, that we are going to be justified by faith. So let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 8, verses 3-4. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. So we know that we see the correlation of where the weakness of the law is. I remember Paul had said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing all these type of things, because we war against the flesh. And I've mentioned to you guys before that the makeup of man is spirit, soul, and body. And that the man, the entirety of man, became corrupted by sin when Adam did what he did. And because of that, there is a separation between God and man. And that relationship was damaged. And so God was trying to institute that relationship and bring back a people. And he picked Israelite to show us what he's trying to do spiritually, to pick crazy people like we are, and to get us through through confession and becoming and believing in Jesus Christ by faith, the walk of faith, just like the Israelites had to do when they left Egypt, that we are going to enter into this promised land, and that promised land being heaven and being the kingdom of God. So we know then that this flesh of mankind is weak, and this flesh will do what the soul of man wants to do. The flesh is the instrument by which, because the Bible tells us, Jesus said that sin and all the corruption of sin originates in the soul of man, and then he does it. And so the body then is the instrument that we use to carry out what we've decided in our mind, in our soul, to do. So he says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that that's how we are going to overcome the flesh, is that through as we live in the Spirit, being guided. What he's saying basically, if we are guided by the Spirit man, because when one becomes born again, the Bible tells us that we have a brand new spirit. And that conduit, the spirit of man, is the conduit by which God can now, he can speak to us through. And so once we have that renewed spirit, we, our responsibility is to get into the Word of God, for I hid my, your word in my heart, which is a chamber in the soul of man, that I may not sin against you. So our responsibility is to deposit the Word of God so that we can get the soul of man, our soul, to agree with the Word. And when he agrees with God's Word, then the Holy, the Spirit within us agrees with it. And so two-thirds of us come in agreement about something that we are looking for. And once two-thirds of us come in agreement with it, then that third, the other third of ourselves will come into being, come in order, if you will. And once he come into subjection, the flesh, then you and I are what the Bible calls declare walking by faith. So let's take a look at that same verse, Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 4 in a different translation, the New Living Translation. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature, our flesh. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sin. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So we are no longer guided or making decisions based on our flesh, which is in working in conjunction with our soul. We are now guided by decisions made by our spirit and soul of working together in obedience to the Word of God. So that is what the word, the law was pointing to. It was guiding to us and telling us that we are, number one, sinful, and that we are here and in need of someone to help us from this condition that we have find ourselves in because of the disobedience of our forefather Abraham, Adam. So this is the purpose of the law. And once you understand the purpose of the law, and then you can understand all the things that God uses and the importance of Jesus Christ in the Bible and what he is in conjunction with the law and with freedom from the law. We read earlier, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but that by the law, for I have not known lust, except that the law said, thou shalt not covet. So this law was given so that you and I can find ourselves a savior. Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? Is it added because of transgression, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made? And it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. And we know what took place on that, on the Mount of Sinai with the angels and the mediator and so forth. So we are, I wanted to bring some, understanding as to the law. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 6, verses 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you and I, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See now, when we are under the law, sin has dominion over us through the flesh and, you know, as we mentioned earlier. So once we understand this and we now become born again, as I said, the Bible tells us that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's own kingdom, the kingdom of God's Son. And when we make that transition, that we are free from things, we are free from the law of sin and death, we are free from the law, we are no longer under the law of Moses, where the Ten Commandments and all those other things, but we are now under the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that the age of grace is what has started, when Jesus came on the scene. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift God provided this way that we have access to this grace, which is able to lead us to God and reconnect us with our Father, so we would have that relationship that was severed back in Genesis chapter 3. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of the whole thing." And we talked about that. I mentioned that briefly yesterday. So that is why. But through grace, okay, if you and I falter, the scripture says to come boldly before the throne of grace. So the Bible tells us that God's throne is called the throne of grace, because grace, he is the owner of grace. He is the one, the possessor of it. And so grace resides with him. And so it says, "Come boldly before the throne of grace, whereby you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need." So now when we have faltered, we can go before God through grace and be restored through our confession and be back in that relationship with God. Galatians 3:21, "Is the law then against the promises of God, the word of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have been given life, truly righteousness should have been done by the law." So that's why I say to you guys, no religion, okay, that is outside of the way. And this is how it becomes important to see that you can't earn your way to heaven in the sense where you do all the law, because it says if you done all of it and you miss one, you've the whole thing is done. So you're done. So that type of life, the Bible calls, as I read earlier, schoolmaster. It basically is just whipping us. As we see, as I mentioned to you earlier, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ," or the Messiah. And that's in Galatians 3:24. So now let's look at Jesus Christ in the conjunction when it comes to the law. What does it really say about who he is? And the Bible tells us that he is the one that is, he fulfilled the law. He comes and he is the fulfiller. He is the one that all the prophets have been talking to. He is the one that everyone has been focusing, telling people that there's this guy coming, this Messiah, and through him there is going to be a new system that will be put in place, a new age, and that age of grace through faith and grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift. And so everyone, the prophets from the beginning, even God in Genesis 3 prophesied about this Messiah coming. And he was pointing and everything, because Jesus says, check the scriptures, for in them they testify of me. They talk about me. I'm the one that they have been pointing to that has been equipped with all the tools necessary to overcome sin and to be that conduit, that centerpiece by which forgiveness, where the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ became sin. And when he became sin on the cross, that was the point when he yelled out, "Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me?" Because God had turned his back on his son. And that was the first time God had turned his back on his son from the beginning of time. And that's why Jesus was sweating blood when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he didn't want to go through that aspect. Why? Because he knew, and God knew, that he had to become sin. And the scripture said he became sin so that you and I will be set free from that, from the power of sin, which was made known to us under the law. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That love is expressed through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:13 and 18 also talks about that. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, in the statement that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so how many of us do that? How many of us are capable of doing that? So that's why I say when you see these people that are going out and calling themselves Christians and walking in hateful behavior and hateful mindset, they're off their rockers, because the Bible tells us that the law, the commandments of the law, is fulfilled in the fact that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And doing that, we know that when you look at what's outside there, and none of these guys love themselves, because you can't love yourself and behave the way you do to your neighbor, because it's just not the way. So it is very important that you guys understand the importance of Jesus Christ when it comes to the law. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verses 20. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. For surely I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one title will not mean pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these, of the least of the commandments, and teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not by no means enter into the kingdom of God. So he's talking about, he says, I didn't come here to destroy it, I came here to fulfill it. And he says, by the way, you know, you religious folks, he says, your righteousness have to exceed all these religious people. And what is that righteousness that he talks about? To love your neighbor as yourself. And we know then that this is not what the word does. So we know that he talks about this. So Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 45, then he said to them, there are the words which I spoke unto you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and we know where that is and where he got it from, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So, and it tells us that, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture, because he tells them, he says, search the scriptures, for in them it testifies of me. I am the centerpiece. I'm the one that everyone has been talking about. And now that I am on the scene, I am here to show you guys the original intent of how God wanted this thing to be done. He wanted us to walk by faith. We know that Jesus did that. And he did everything by faith. He healed. And I always mention to you guys, when one walks by faith, the law of faith supersedes every other law that is written here and governs this particular kingdom, because it was the law of faith that created this kingdom. God said, let there be light, and let, and so forth. And so he began to recreate the kingdom, the earth, by faith. And that law is the same. And God and Jesus came to show us how to use it. And because he tells us that there are several people that were capable of using it. One of them was the woman with the issue of blood, a rich woman. She is spending her money going to see all the doctors and so forth, the healthcare system of the day. And she spent all her money, and she's getting worse. She's going to die. And then she heard about this guy, Jesus Christ, healing. And he is a part of the kingdom of God. So he's coming with, and he's operating by faith and moving by a different principle. And so God is going to use Jesus Christ because as an example to show us how to live our life while we are here on this planet. So Jesus Christ is healing and stuff like that. And this woman heard about it. And she said within herself, as I mentioned earlier, about the soul of mankind with, within herself was the soul. She heard the word of God, right? She heard that Jesus is a healer. She then believed and agreed with the fact that Jesus Christ is a healer. And then she now is going to make her body do the things necessary in order to get to the place where she needs to be in order to touch the hem of his garment. So when she did that, again, she was not interested in Jesus Christ or talking with him or none of that. She just wanted to touch his garment. And think about that for a minute. If there is Jesus walking on a crowd of people, and when she touched the hem, just the very hem of his garment, she didn't pull it, she touched it. And when she touched it, he said, "Who touched me?" He didn't say, "Who pulled my garment?" He said, "Who touched my garment?" And yet you had a ton of people touching him. And so Jesus now is going to turn after this woman identify herself. She says, "I was the one who touched you," because he says, "Virtue came out of me, power came out of me." And so then our faith has the ability to pull power out from God to get what we want. So the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. So come boldly before the throne of grace, whereby you can obtain mercy and find grace." You're coming with your faith, right? Because I said, I did a podcast previously talk about come believing. You come with your faith, right? And Jesus turns to this woman and he makes a statement to her. He says, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." So she was able to utilize her faith, because each and every one of us have it, and she was able to obtain what she wanted from God while he was walking on the street. And so you and I have the same ability to do the very same thing. So everything, the whole scripture, the whole law was pointing to this guy, Jesus Christ, that he would come and he would teach man how to walk by faith. And because Adam failed at that assignment, and so God had another one set up for that assignment, and that individual was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he began to inundate the children of Israel through all the prophets and through the word and through everything, the law, everything he's putting together, so that they will understand that this individual is coming so that he can come and teach them how to walk by faith. So because God was trying to teach the children of Israel, but we saw what happened with them. It came to a point where he had to destroy all of them that came out of Egypt. But it was the ones that learned to walk by faith through following of Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones that were able to extract power from God when they went in to take over the promised land, because God says, "Don't fear." He says, "I am with you." So that power of God was with them to overcome their enemies. And we know that those were giants. Those were actually children, descendants of the Nephilim that they were coming against. And so that power was able to be accessed because of their faith, and they were able to accomplish great things as a result. So this law, I wanted to come and stop for a minute and make you guys aware of it, that Jesus said, "I am that centerpiece." That's why he says no man can come to God to get access to the Father, because I'm the one that we've been talking about from the beginning of time. And so no other religion is able to get to God, because that religion, whatever that religion is under the law of work, and tells us that none of the works will give you access to God. And so there's only one way by which you and I can be saved. And the scripture says that mediator, that man, there's only one name under heaven by which is given to mankind, whereby they are going to be able to be saved. And that name is the name of Christ Jesus. So there is no other way. He says, "I am the door. I am here. I am come to fulfill the law. This is who I am, and I became sin. I died on the cross so that you don't have to do that. For cursed is everyone who dies on the cross." And so he became the curse of sin, because sin is a curse. He became that sin so that you and I will be free from it. And the Bible tells us that we are no longer under the power of the law. We are under grace. And as those that are under grace, we seek God's wisdom, His insight, His knowledge, so that we are going to learn how to walk this walk of one who is walking by faith, just like Jesus did. Jesus walked by faith every day, every day, every day. And so you and I, we lack wisdom and understanding, and because of that, we sometimes revert back to the law in the kingdom of darkness, which is anger and all these other things, and then we get out of faith. And the Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. And then we find ourselves in a situation where we cause a great deal of harm and pain. And we now run to God and we expect it to be fixed immediately. But He said that all the heart of the king and the heart of every man is in His hands. So He says all things work together for good to those who love Him. But it takes time for God now to begin to move and change the situation in our behalf so that we will have access to our victory. But we have to come believing. We have to now approach the throne of grace because we have a high priest there on our behalf who is interceding on our behalf before the Father. And so once we come before this throne of grace, it says whereby we can obtain mercy, because you know we've made some mistake. We made a mistake and we caused this big mess. And we are asking for God's mercy, His forgiveness, and we are asking for that ingredient of grace, which is, and I've told you guys what that grace is. When God had given me that revelation about it, what it means the divine influence upon the heart of mankind, the divinely influence. God is able to divinely influence that individual by tapping into their thoughts and giving them thoughts to do things for our benefit. So He's not really violating their will. He's tapping into their thoughts, that thought feel, and putting in inserting a thought there, and they still have that choice whether. And so they take that thought, they will then begin to, it'll grow as a seed, and then it manifests, and then they begin to act and do things that will create this situation to give us the victory that we need. And so that's why it takes time. That's why the scripture says we ought to learn patience. We have to learn all these things because we are giving it over to God, and God's grace now is able to move on a man's heart, or the men and women, so that will bring us the victory that we need. So that grace is there to help us in our time of need, it says in the book of Hebrews. So I wanted to stop and really get an opportunity for you guys to understand what Jesus is and who He is in relations to the law, and why this law was given, and the fact that it was given, and all of these different things, so that we can have an understanding of what God had planned. His plan of redemption was, first of all, He had to make us aware that we are short. We are under the law. We are under sin. And Paul says, if it wasn't the law, I would know that I've coveted and broken, and did things. So God had to make us aware of our condition. And then He had to make us aware that we can't come out of that. Okay. There's nothing, we can earn our way out of it because we are trapped. It's like a schoolmaster, as I mentioned to you earlier. And that schoolmaster is there to simply, you know what a schoolmaster does, right? A schoolmaster is there to whip your butt. And so once that schoolmaster is there to teach you these things, you know, then everything points to Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, it tells us, who is going to redeem us from the curse of the law. So that is who Jesus is in relations to the law that was given to Moses. So we studied why, the reason, and the purpose of the law, and the purpose of Jesus Christ. So the law instituted, and make us aware of sin. And then Jesus came and instituted the age of grace. And the Bible tells us that the age of grace will end in 2075, because the disciples asked Him, what does the end of the age look like the age of grace, because it says Jesus Christ came and instituted it. So when, what does it look like? And he began to describe what it looks like. And we see the, when we look at the scene out there, that's exactly what it looks like. And it's going to get progressively worse from here on out. Because, as I said, 2075 is about 50 years. And then you subtract 7 from that, which is 68. And then you have, it's 7 is when the rapture of the church takes place. And then the entrance of the Antichrist around that time as well. And so I want to just tell you guys, it's been really great. I wanted to do this to just catch up again. I had to take a little break, guys. I had to deal with some things with my visa, and I was absent for a podcast or so, and I couldn't get back in time because of some situations. And so I wanted to do these to catch up with you guys and bring you up to date. But I wanted to bring you some information concerning the law that was given to Moses, the reasons why, and Jesus Christ, and how it connects in the whole aspect when we're dealing with God and Christianity. But I hate that terminology, the way the Bible calls, the way that, the correct way by which God has set up for you to act. So, thank you again for sharing and following me here at, Mystery Bible. I do appreciate all of your support in every way that you do. And I welcome you guys so that you can come and learn about who you are, so that we can become effective and change this world.